Love matures. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. God expects us to grow spiritually. Jesus told us that we need to become as little children. And so we want to think about that in light of this passage saying about putting away childish things. But I think one thing is that he told us to become like little children, not necessarily in every respect, just like the Bible says we are like sheep, but not in every respect, are we? There are certain characteristics that we have that are like sheep. Same with children. There are certain ways in which that we must become like little children, certain of their characteristics. And when Jesus was talking about that, one of those characteristics that he was lifting up was being humble. We need to be humble like children. And another characteristic that we need to be like children is that children grow. We expect children to grow and to take nourishment and to become more than they are every day. Don't we look forward to seeing them grow physically and spiritually and emotionally, mentally, to grow? And we do all that we can to help them to grow. And the same is with us as spiritual children, just like we promised to Michael a while ago that we would all work with him and support him in our prayers to help him as he grows in the faith. And he also will be helping us to grow in the faith and as we are with each other. And so there's that expectation that we continue to grow as we become like children in the respect that we are growing and we are open to the things that God would have us to have and to do. And in that particular context, when he was talking about being like children, then he was talking about the need for us to be converted and to be. He had already talked to Nicodemus at the beginning of his ministry about being born again, and in this case, saying humble as this, we must humble ourselves as this little child is humble. There's a saying, I don't know where it came from, but I've used it a few times. And it's, I used to be young and immature, but now I'm old and immature. But our age really is not the key element here of what is being talked about. Paul wrote to St. Timothy about, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. And we know that there's a lot of times people who who respond in an early age to God's call on their lives. My call to preach came as a child. And many times then people put that off, though, for a long time and don't respond to God's call. But then sometimes when they do, even at older, as an older age, oftentimes then they catch up real quick because they throw themselves into it and they follow and they learn and they do everything they can to make up for lost time, and they zoom right past the rest of us, you know, and get to the front of the line almost in a way of speaking. And they put away those childish things and they grow in the grace and knowledge and love of Christ. And so that's what God calls us to do in this passage here. There's a hymn that has one verse says, rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. We want to lay aside spiritual immaturity and instead become mature and grow and to where that we're bringing forth fruit. Just like Jesus did this in his own life, as a child, you know, that we remember the stories of his childhood, and then how that they finally went back to Nazareth, and there the Bible says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. My grandmother had a cup that she gave me, and it was her cup, and so it was part of my inheritance, was her cup that says, aged to perfection. That's the kind of growth that we're invited to have in the Christian faith, the spiritual growth that brings us to perfection, that makes us better all the time, that completes us, and then makes us fruitful, as Terry brought out with the flower, that Jesus had several parables that included those seeds, like Terry was talking about, where, you know, like there's that one saying, first the blade, and then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. And the parable of the seed, where different seed was scattered at different types of soil, and then the one that really took root and grew, it provided fruit, and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. And then Paul wrote about the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians with the different fruits. That's the kind of growth that is expected, the kind of spiritual growth that brings forth the good seed, that makes us be able to bring forth good fruit and to have seed that then enables more good fruit to grow, more people to become a part of the kingdom of God. Spiritual growth is expected. Paul wrote about the drinking the milk of the word and then going on to the meat of the word. And in this same book, he wrote about that, and he wrote about spiritual immaturity being proven by envy and strife. And he talked about how God gives growth, even though that we may be the ones who plant seeds and water. It's God that gives the growth. And even compare this in some of his writings to a building going up, that we don't just expect to lay a few bricks and have a building. It's grown. It's built up into the structure. We're invited to spiritual maturity, to grow in wisdom and stature and grace, just as Jesus did. And that includes the whole scope of the breadth, the height, the depth, our skills, our capacity and capabilities, the quality of that growth. And in our conversation, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Think about our vocabulary as this passage invites us to think of, with the tongues of men and of angels, the language of love and and heavenly communication. Our subject matter and the content of our conversations becomes more divine, and we spend more time in prayer, studying the scripture, and developing our spirituality. Sorry. Hopefully we can talk also. And we're building communion with one another. The communion that is represented sacramentally with the sacrament that we're going to partake of together here in a few minutes. The communion of saints that we affirm in the Apostles' Creed, and that that our time together in the reaffirmation of our baptism and reception of a new member into the church brings out that unity and oneness that we have as the body of Christ. And building communion as the priesthood of believers whose job it is to build bridges that connect people across faith and cultures and social economic conditions, that we develop relationships and friendships, partner with one another in ministry. We are the ambassadors of Christ, representing Christ in the world and bringing the Holy Spirit to the table in our decision-making opportunities that we have with other people, communicating God's love. We are serving in the ministry of reconciliation, forgiving each other and accepting one another, and building up the unity of the body of Christ. And we extend the invitation to Christian discipleship, offering Christ to the world, offer them Christ. And this is the Great Commission, to go and to teach everything that Jesus taught and everything that we're learning from Christ, to extend that then and teach others, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do all things whatsoever I have commanded you, is how Jesus put it. And the Bible tells us then that we are partakers of the divine nature. So we're called to love as Christ loved, to worship in spirit and in truth, and to take our place in the citizenry of heaven. Another part of our conversation is our holy conferencing, is that has always been thought of in our tradition as a means of grace, a way that God communicates His grace and love to us and through us, by respectful discussions of our beliefs and practices and how we implement them in our lives, and by spiritual formation as we share information, encourage one another, and hold one another accountable in our faith as we continue to build this community of love with cooperation, with sharing of common goals and shared disciplines. We're together in Christian fellowship as the church, the gathered people of God, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, but encouraging and exhorting one another. We worship, we serve, we pray, we educate, we help each other in the kingdom of God to develop our spiritual gifts and minister them, and we build up spiritual renewal among us and continue to encourage when we sometimes get a little weak in the faith, then others strengthen us and we encourage each other in our faith. We're invited also in this to become more intellectually mature through education, as Jesus famously taught by precept and example in all of His teachings. And there's a Sermon on the Mount where He opened His mouth and He taught them, and He sends give us that great commission to go and teach all nations. He authorizes us to teach what He taught and to observe the things that He taught us and commanded us, has given us that power to do so. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and He is always with us. And so through our decisions to serve the Lord, then we grow in our grace. You know, we talked last week about perfect love, and there's that point in our lives where we make a decision for Christ. And we can look back on that then after that moment as a special sacred moment when we made it official. We decided from that point we're going to follow Christ. We want to be like Him. We want to serve Him. We want to love the way that He loves. And that becomes our decision and our commitment, just like the one that Joshua made when he said, you know, it might seem good to you to do anything that you want to do, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And that has to do with our own personal lives, with our home, our family, our vocation, our church, and all that we do to follow Christ. And in our interaction with the world, God invites us through the words of Isaiah, "Come now, let us reason together." And in Hebrews, it talks another place where it talks about living on the milk as an infant, but then going on to have the solid food as we mature in the faith and being able to distinguish good from evil. And finally, Peter invites us, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen.